You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number two on the show, and we are still solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going to the phones right now with a guy named Ernie Yarbrough. Ernie's been on the show with us before. I also met him when I went up and hosted the Colbert County Republican Party Candidates Forum. He did an amazing job that night. He got up there on stage with the incumbent, Prancy Robertson, and I'm pretty sure Representative Robertson did not expect the quality of answers that he got to the questions from Ernie. Well, Ernie's now won the primary for House District 7, and he's now on the air with us. So, Ernie Yarbrough, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, I thought, you know, I love the underdog story. Like, where does Ernie Yarbrough come from? He just beat the incumbent. I thought, you know, time for a victory lap. Let's see how it goes.
That's right. Yes, it was. So far, the victory lap is feeling good. The shoes feel good, and I'm getting used to breaking them in. So I'm quite happy to be running that lap.
Well, good enough. Hey, and by the way, I got it right this time. You're in House District 7. I said that right. Sure. So I think last time your website, it was Ernie 4, you know, whatever. Was it Ernie 4 House? I forgot what it was. But
yes, it was Ernie 4 House with the number 4. I am, let's just say that my wife does an amazing job doing social media, marketing, and all that stuff. And so she's really clever with all that stuff. And I guess, I'm gonna say that I'm like you because it makes me feel good about myself. But people like you and me, we miss those clever marketing, I guess, tactics or whatever.
we surround ourselves with good people who know how to do stuff. That's what happens.
That's right. It makes us look brilliant.
There you go. Well, hey, Ernie, remind me this. I don't know the answer to this. Obviously, I try to track the more conservative races, but is there a Democrat in your race?
Yes, there is. His name is Mo Jones, and so I will have a general election in the fall. And so I am. So there is still one more victory to win. Obviously, our district is predominantly Republican. So, yeah. But we're certainly going to treat that with all seriousness and respect. And right now, we're just kind of taking off. We're going to go on vacation next week and just take a little bit of time to recoup and sleep a little bit. But there is, I will have a general in the fall, and so we are definitely excited for that as well.
All right, well, good deal. So, I mean, I guess the message stays the same, and you had a motto in your campaign, make Alabama local again. You want to touch base on that a minute?
I do, yes, sir. Yeah, no, I'm very passionate about that. You know, as we knocked about 6,000 doors, and beginning February the 1st, it was just a continual 9 to 7 or longer each and every day, working hard toward the end. My family joined in, helping knock doors, engaging with people, talking to the people, just crying, praying. Literally, I can't tell you the number of steps and homes that I stood on, crying with people, praying with people, talking, hugging, sitting on the front porch rocking chairs. And that was really part of, you know, that was kind of, I guess, my initial engagement behind making Alabama local again, is that I can't tell you the number of people that said, you know, I remember growing up, and this is how politics used to be. It used to be that the candidates all came to the doors. They said, but you're the first person that's knocked on my door since maybe they were kids. And these people were maybe in their 50s or 60s or 70s. And so, you know, I really wanted to take that local idea of me going out there, me connecting, me just sitting on the front porch, talking, sharing hearts, you know, in part because, you know, COVID's been hard on a lot of people, and there's isolation, and yet there's this sense of there's still that connecting generation, you know, to the way things used to be.
Yeah.
And I'm really burdened that we not lose that, but that gets connected and carried over to the next generation. And so that was part of my policy, my commitment there. And then also the idea that, look, a lot of people feel like that people in places of elected office just look down on people. They think that they're ignorant. They don't know better. And in the case of our current representative, he openly admitted that he knew 89% to 90% of people didn't want things that he voted for. And people are tired of being treated like they're not worthy of being consulted for their opinion and for their money. And so I wanted to make it clear to the people of our district that, look, part of making Alabama local again is not that there's not appropriate places for taxpayer dollars Not that there's not appropriate places for government. Of course there is, right? But that we as a country are a representative country, and that you as the constituents ought to have the governing voice, and you ought to, which means, therefore, if you have a representative, you ought to have somebody who's engaging you for your thoughts, your concerns. And, you know, this past Sunday in church, we sang a song. We sing psalms and hymns. And this verse from Psalm 27, where he says, "Lord, lead me in a plain path." Right. And so when I tell people, it's like that verse is my prayer, that when I say I believe this, this is my political principle or principles, and here's my actions, that they ought to see a very plain and clear line of connection between the principles and the actions. And part of that is engaging them and getting their thought process, their heart, and then actually showing that I listen to them in how I vote.
Well, and Ernie, let me jump in there too. I remember when I did the candidate forum, when I moderated the candidate forum, and you and Representative Prancy Robertson were on the stage, and I asked the question about the gas tax, which I saw him immediately stiffen up a little bit when I asked, because he was there when the gas tax was passed. And I'm not going to make this, I'm not going to turn this discussion you and I are having on the air right now into a bash the guy who just lost the election thing. But one thing that really struck me though, was when I asked that question, I asked him very clearly, I asked both of you, would you be willing to freeze the gas tax for the time being because of the level of pain people are experiencing at the pump? He didn't hesitate. He just said no. I mean, literally, just no. And then he said, let me tell you why. And he went on to talk about how we got to spend money. We're committed to spending on these projects. And I looked at it and I thought, you're missing the point, dude, because not a single one of those projects would fall if you froze it for 90 days. And you could help people out, or you could at least debate it, but he wouldn't even debate it. And I thought that was significant.
Yeah, no, it is. And like I said, I made the point there on the podium. I said, you know, part of the reason why I feel like it didn't want to be paused is because humble pie didn't taste very good. You know, but part of the reason too is that, you know, everybody in the room knows that the way the gas tax was passed, everybody was consulted who were not constituents. But the people that did consult their constituents, they don't have primary opponents, right? And so there seems to be this tendency among people in Montgomery, from what I can tell, you know, as an Alabama citizen, that why is it that we're not the ones consulted? You know, in a local this month in the GOP meeting in Lawrence County, we all had a chance to speak. Finally, in the past we haven't been given chances to speak, but we finally did. We're given. And so everybody got 5 minutes, except for the incumbent who got 10. And he made the comment in there, again, like I said, that he knew that 89% of the people did not want the tax. And he said, I talked to ALDOT and I talked to the county commissioners and we needed it, so we're good to go. And the one thing he did not say was, I talked to the people.
Yeah.
You know, I used technology to put out a poll to get their thoughts, their concerns. And I can't tell you the number of my friends in this county who have businesses who are hauling dirt and rocks and doing all kinds of great stuff for our county, who their businesses are just getting almost leveled to the ground because of fuel costs. And so while you say we need to fill in some potholes, you know, if you don't listen to your constituency and learn the impact of what it's going to make on the whole, then quite honestly, you're not being a representative of the people. You're being a representative of someone else or somebody's else that you're listening to, but it's not the people who voted you into office.
Well, and that's just one example. But I can remember, I mean, to your point, I can remember when I was campaigning myself back in the day, I was in Cherokee. I'll never forget this. I was in Cherokee County. I can picture where I was, knocked on a guy's door, and he came to the door and he was kind of suspicious. Like who are these people, you know, at my door? And I introduced myself, told him what I was running for, gave him one of my flyers, just told him I would really appreciate his vote. And he kind of looked at me funny and he said, you know, I've lived here a while and never had anybody come by and never had a candidate show up at my door. So you just got my vote. I mean, he didn't say I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. He just said, because I actually touched base with him personally, that I had his vote. And that, you know, that stuck with me.
I think you got it going on there. So many times. That's fantastic.
Well, and so another piece, by the way, on your website, you've got a place down at the bottom where it says Faith Family Business. So we got about a minute and a half here. What are we talking about there?
Yep. So my passion there, you know, as you see on the website, the Celtic knot, and you know, a lot of American cultural historical connection is Scotland, right? And the Celtic knot is a symbol of togetherness, unity, and in that unity of community, right, is the unity of all areas of life. And so faith, family, and business, right? So my passion there is that we understand we live in a cultural war right now. We live in a cultural battle right now where we're standing in the culture. Downstream of culture is politics. Upstream of culture is the home, right? So everything's flowing down from the home. And so my passion is to rediscover and inflame in the hearts of Alabama citizens this belief and passion for how our faith informs our business, how it informs our politics, that when we begin to have a healthy fear of God and a healthy love of our neighbor, that we will see those boundaries of civil rights and property rights and actually taking people's opinion into matter when we go to vote. All of those things will happen when we begin to, first of all, return to the spiritual foundation that our country has, and that you look at all the historical monuments throughout our country and even the Supreme Court building. You see the monuments of our faith and how that informed. You read Blackstone's commentaries. You see in the law how the faith informed the business, how it informed the politics, and how it preserved the rights of everybody, because we realize that there's a law outside of ourselves to which we must adhere and honor in order to preserve freedom and liberty.
Good stuff, man. Well, listen, Ernie, congratulations so much. And by the way, the night that I was there at the candidate forum, I think I met your son, Ridley, and your cousin, I think, Crystal?
Crystal, yeah.
Yeah, tell both of them I said hello, and congratulations to you and your entire team, your whole family, for a election well won, well earned, and now on to November.
Thank you, sir, so much. I just want to give a quick shout out to my entire family, my friends, you all helped. Literally, under God, it was an army and a team effort, and I can't praise them and love them enough. And thank you for giving me the chance to speak. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ernie Yarbrough, congratulations. Soon to be, hopefully, the next state representative from House District 7. You take care, bud. All right, folks.
Thanks.
Right Side Radio. Yeah, man, I tell you what, if that enthusiasm is not contagious, I don't know what is. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.